Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, and welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today is day 24, and we continue to work through our fourth week into the darkness, following Therese as our guide to come to appreciate more and more the depths of this offering to merciful love. So let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit to come be with us. Give us everything we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 24. Liturgical Darkness. Yesterday we learned the secret to overcoming our blindness to our own personal sins. The secret to being little. The fire of God's love. We saw how that love humbles us, making us realize that we can't compete, that we can't love God as he loves us, that we can't be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. All right, so we're weak, little, pitiful lovers. We're sinners who would die of terror if we fully realized our selfishness and sin. Well, thank God it doesn't end there. Once we're humbled, God lifts us up. Again, as St. Therese said to the Lord, "For me to love you as you love me, I would have to borrow your own love." And she knew she could. Indeed, she was absolutely confident that God would allow her to borrow his own divine love. For evidence of this, we need only look as far as the text of her offering to merciful love. Quote, "I desire, in a word, to be a saint, but I feel my helplessness, and I beg you, O my God, to be yourself my sanctity. Look upon me only in the face of Jesus and in his heart burning with love. It is with confidence I ask you to come and take possession of my soul. Remain in me as in a tabernacle. All are justice sustained in your eyes. I wish then to be clothed in your own justice and to receive from your love the eternal possession of yourself. Allow the waves of infinite tenderness shut up within you to overflow into my soul." End quote. Clearly, Therese is confident that God will let her borrow his own love so she can love him perfectly in return. She knows that he himself will be her sanctity, and that God the Father will look upon her only in the face of Jesus and in his heart burning with love. She's confident that God's love will take possession of her and remain in her, that she might be clothed in God's own justice and filled with an overflow of the infinite tenderness of his love. She knows that all our justice, that is, all our own efforts, are stained in God's eyes. So, her aim is to love God with his own perfect love. But when will Therese get that love? When will she be able to love God perfectly with his own divine love? She believes it will be only at the moment of her death, when she hopes to be a martyr of God's love. More specifically, she believes that her desires will be realized only in heaven. "What attracts me to the homeland of heaven is the Lord's call, the hope of loving him finally, as I have so much desire to love him." So according to Therese, only in heaven will we love God with perfect love. Still, there's such a thing as heaven on earth. There's a time here on earth when we can love God perfectly with his own divine love. It's when we participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The Mass is, as it were, heaven on earth. It provides us the opportunity in the veiled form of sacrament to love God as he loves us, to actually love him perfectly. Specifically, it happens during what I call the supercharged moment of the Mass. That's the moment when the priest at the altar takes the body and blood into his hands and offers it up to God, the Father, with these words: "Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen." That moment is supercharged because at the Mass, Jesus is giving himself body and blood, soul and divinity into our hands. Literally in the hands of the priest and spiritually in the hands of all the lay faithful who unite their own sacrifices to the offering of the priest at the altar. Then, together, each in his own way, we offer Jesus' infinite sacrifice of love to the Father and ourselves along with it. That's the moment when Jesus' sacrifice becomes our sacrifice, when Jesus' love becomes our love, when Jesus' offering of himself becomes our offering of ourselves. So in that moment, we love God perfectly with his own divine love. More specifically, we love the Father with the perfect love of the Son in the unity of the Holy Spirit. But again, that experience of heaven on earth is hidden under the veil of a sacrament. In other words, it takes place through the darkness of liturgical worship, a worship that points to and makes manifest the divine worship of heaven through the poverty of signs and symbols wrought by human hands. And while the Mass truly does make present the sublime worship of heaven, our eyes remain blind to the myriad of angels praising the Lord, the countless throng of saints gathered around the altar, and the overwhelming glory of our Savior giving himself over to our loving and merciful Father. And yet, through the Mass, we truly and fully participate in that mystery. Through the Mass, we perfectly love God with borrowed, infinite love, the divine love of the Son for the Father. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to participate fully, consciously, and actively in the borrowed divine love of liturgical worship. Okay, this day is massively important to us as Catholics to be able to appreciate more fully what's happening at the Mass and how we can love God as he desires to be loved. I didn't emphasize this on the previous day, but a huge point that Therese taps into that should be our hope as well is that in the call to love God perfectly, we can actually love him with his love, to be able to enter into that divine Trinitarian love and actually partake of it, actually participate in that love. And this is the divine economy. This is why God becomes man, not just to show us a really special way of living or a really good way of living or a holy way of living so that we can imitate. No, he takes on our humanity so that we can participate in his divinity. And so it's not as much about imitation as it is participation, right? Literally taking part in that fullness. And this is just great news for us, because if you read salvation history, the whole Old Testament is truly the story of how imperfect our own efforts are on our own to be able to love God the way that he desires to be loved, to be faithful to God as he desires us to be faithful, or to obey him as he asks us to obey him. And all of our efforts on our own, even with God helping us, giving us different patriarchs, judges, prophets, seers, sages, everything else, we still can't do it on our own. Salvation history is the story of little ones like needing to come to recognize our real weakness, our own limitations, and our own dependency on God. That if you don't do something, we will continue on this path of misery. And so, Therese emphasizes that, like, a spiritual nature of borrowing God's love, of taking that love that Jesus desires to give her and then returning it back to him. But liturgically, there's another way as well. And so what Father Gately emphasizes here is, yeah, not only this one part of the Mass, but it's truly the whole Mass where we come to enter into the unbloodied representation of Calvary. Again, which is what? Calvary is the remedy of all of our sinfulness, all of our unfaithfulness, all of our disobedience, our selfishness, etc. And we have God entering into our brokenness, our limitations, and fully in his own, the poverty of his humanity, he's able to perfectly surrender in love to the Father. And what that looks like is an abomination to humanity. That's why we can't stand it. It's why we reject it all the time. We're the one who is just and true and good and loving and pure and noble is obnoxious to us, and we try and reject it. It's why the weakness and the poverty in our own selves, we've rejected all the time. It's like, we can't show any weakness. We can't show any blemishes. And meanwhile, it's like, no, those are actually the things that make us who we are. And so Jesus, right, he takes all these things into himself and surrenders them to the Father. And what that looks like is a complete sacrifice. It is the cross that allows his love, his trust to be fully magnified. And so at every single Mass, we come to be present to that very same moment, that mystery, which didn't just happen some almost 2,000 years ago. Because that is a divine action, God coming in, entering into time, space, our humanity, he is then able to allow that moment to be accessible for all time. Well, again, because he's God, and because it's not just a human historical moment encapsulated in this never-ending chronos of time that continues to go and pass, and then it's gone, and then it's gone, and then it's gone. Because he's divine, it also exists forever in heaven. And therefore, in this memorial, this remembering, this making present of his divine saving love on Calvary, we are present to that very moment, and we're invited to unite our hearts, our minds, our lives to him perfectly. And that prayer that the priest prays is one of the fullest manifestations of that offering to the Father. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father. Right? So who's the him? It's Jesus. Through Jesus, with Jesus, and in Jesus. That here's the priest in the very person of Jesus, calling upon Almighty God, the Father, to be able to accept every offering that we would make in union with the perfect offering of Jesus, that everything we think, say, do, might be united to Jesus through him, with him, and even in him, that we actually do this in him, right? This isn't imitation, this is participation. We're actually in the very life of Jesus, that we would offer it to the glory of Almighty Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen. So that's glorious, right? Like that's everything to allow that to really shape our mindset of what's happening at Mass. That the reason we go to Mass is to be united to the sacrifice. To be united to the sacrifice that sets us free, that makes us whole, that redeems us, and actually gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And you and I get this very wrong. It's just easy to enter in and have maybe a consumeristic mindset that I'm there to get encouraged, get inspired, or get peace, or, you know, get comfort. And it's like, no, it's not about what we get. It really is about how we unite ourselves to the cross, which is about what we give, but it's not that either. It's not just about getting, it's about giving. True. True. But it's Jesus on the cross is giving us everything. And he's also inviting us to give everything too. And so it's this beautiful relationship of we can come to give everything. So that prayer someone taught me recently, through him, with him, and in him, you know, really shouldn't be saved just for the priest and just for Mass. That prayer, through him, with him, and in him, in a sense, should be our daily offering. It should be our hourly offering, our moment-to-moment offering, right? That everything that I do should be through Jesus. And everything that I say should be with Jesus. And everything that I accept and love and serve, like, it should be in Jesus. And so my whole life is meant to be this moment of worship through him, with him, and in him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, that I might be so incorporated into the very life of Jesus that I can continually be honoring and glorifying the Father and the Holy Spirit with Jesus in him and through him. Do you get it, right? So all of a sudden, Mass isn't just like this one moment that happens in this one building on this one day. It can be my entire life can really be this offering, can really be brought about in loving the Father, in the Son, through the Holy Spirit. And notice how just like transformative that makes our lives, that there's nothing that we do that is not apart from the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity that's been given to us through baptism, that now sets us free to worship God in this dynamic relationship. And then imagine how this transforms your experience of Mass. That if my whole life has been this offering to glorify the Father, now all of a sudden I come to Mass and it's like, my heart is full. My heart is full with offerings and sacrifices and loving services and acceptances of difficulties and tragedies and joys and rewards and successes that I can all unite to that offering on the altar through the minister of the priest to the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that just brings everything to life. And this is why we can, in a sense, borrow that love. Because we're in the Blessed Trinity. We're actually doing this in the Son, to the Father, through the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So, yeah, so the liturgical is not just a secondary thing. The liturgical is really meant to be an expression of what we believe. So Therese is not coming up with anything new here. She's emphasizing what maybe even I would offer. She's been formed through the liturgy itself. That she's been formed through the liturgy to know that she can, quote unquote, borrow this love. That she can approach the throne of mercy with all confidence and boldness. Because in the Mass, she comes to love the Father in the Son through the Holy Spirit. So why not talk about borrowing the love? She's in that love, and that is her life. So let's pray for that grace that the next time we would go to Mass, we might be able to see heaven on earth and earth pining up to heaven. Let's pray that we might really come intentionally to offer our lives and to love the Father in that most perfect way. And let's pray that in our own lives, we might better incorporate and integrate this prayer through him, with him, and in him. O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, help me to participate fully, consciously, and actively in the borrowed divine love of liturgical worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.